All right, welcome back to the Big O Show. As promised, we told you that Dolphins general manager Dennis Hickey would be joining us here on the program. Dennis, second year now with the Dolphins. Now, the beauty about this situation is when I saw you last week at the East-West, you weren't in place at that time. And at this time, you weren't necessarily settled in. Does it help for you now that, you know, you've got a year in place and you're more prepared for this process?
Right. You know, last year I kind of jumped in actually. And when I was at the Senior Bowl, I was notified I was going to be interviewing there. So now that, you know, I have a full cycle and been with our scouts for almost exactly a year, implemented our system, you know, more comfortable. They're more comfortable with our system and things we're looking for and how to talk about players and the structure that we look for. And also adding my assistant GM, Eric Stokes, to the mix. So, you know, guys that, you know our system. And so there's a lot more comfort there. I know the team better. That's probably the biggest thing. And that I've been with the team for a season and, you know, watching these guys day to day, practice, off season, you know, in season. So you get a better feel of the, rather than just watching tape from afar, you don't get the total picture. So all that's beneficial for us, and we're excited about this offseason.
Now, the challenge for you, you come in and you've got to get to know a coach, because I'm kind of old school, okay? From what I love, the guy at the top starts it, and then he hires his GM. His GM hires his head coaches, you know, and then everything kind of falls into place. Everybody thinks alike. But here, it's one piece brought from over there, another piece brought from over here, and you guys got to mesh and you got to get to know each other. How difficult of a challenge is that compared to the typical structure that if you guys came from the same kind of tree, you kind of think alike?
Well, I think the importance for that is the end game, the big picture, you know, what your philosophy is on the end game and what you're here for. And that's, you know, that part we definitely share from going way back, and that we're here to win the championship. So, you know, then you kind of work backwards from there. And it is a getting an acclimation period, and it's something that you had to be, you had to be intentional about. Look, you know, let's make sure every morning, let's watch, you know, I have these UFAs at the, you know, when we first started that, let's watch these draft guys in the afternoon and, you know, kind of get to know each other, really, but through the prism of watching players together and talking through players, how they fit with the offense. And, you know, obviously last year we were installing a new offense under Coach Lazor, so there was also that. But, you know, we feel like we have continuity, you know, and we can build off that. And, you know, we're 8-8, which we were disappointed the way we ended. I mean, that's no secret. But we're using that as a motivational. We're trying to build off the continuity of a good roster. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of decisions we have to make, and we're in that process right now with that. But, you know, we're excited about building it together and doing it in a collaborative fashion.
Now, when you talk about your first run, your first year now, it's your first time around, so you're going to make mistakes. You're also going to have a lot of successes, like your first and your second round picks were absolutely outstanding. Now, what are the things that you do regret, if you can be that brutally honest? Is there something that you didn't like that you did the first year that you need to correct it this year and from here on out, something that you learned from the process?
Well, definitely. We definitely take, and I don't call it second guessing, but reflective looks back. And the things I'm always concerned about is not so much whether a decision went right or wrong. It was more the rationale, the process that led to the decision. Was there some part of our process that was, there was a missing element or there was a breakdown in that? Those are the things I'm concerned about in the process, everything that goes into that builds toward the decision. And, you know, there were some things that we were definitely looking at and tweaking, and, you know, we feel that that's the important part of that, because those are things that we can control. You know, sometimes, you know, decisions just, you know, may have all the right reasoning, all the right rationale, and they just don't work out. But we want to control what we can control, and we think we've added a lot of elements. And, you know, as we get more accustomed to our staff working under our system and working with this coaching staff, and, again, the addition of Eric Stokes coming in, we feel like we've, you know, identified and tightened up the process, you know, to help us going forward in the future.
One of the things also that I've been critical of the organization, and obviously you're the guy that led in those decisions, has been Delmas, Courtland Finnegan, and Knowshon Moreno. They were injury-prone players before they got here. Is that something that you, you know, so I can be exact about something. Is that something that you will second guess yourself, that you depended on guys that were injury prone and they ended up being injury prone again for you, and obviously they could not finish the job that you wanted them to do? How tough of a decision was that for you?
You being critical, Big O? Come on, Mel. No, no. Look, I mean, and that's a part of the process, the medical evaluations, the things we look at. Look, anytime, whether you're drafting a player, whether you're signing a player, there's going to be elements of risk, variabilities, you know, that you cannot totally predict the future. So you have to weigh those risks against the payoff. And those are part of the decisions that, you know, again, having a tight process is important with that. And that's how we approach those.
Right. And see, I didn't mention Brandon Albert because that was a freakish thing.
Right.
But those guys had the history, and that's the only reason I mentioned, because those were guys that you really needed in a big time way, and unfortunately they couldn't get the job done. But I will say this, I think Knowshon Moreno made a nice impression on Lamar Miller, because he became a different runner hanging around Knowshon. So while Knowshon couldn't stay on the field for you this year, I think he left a little bit of a legacy with the Lamar Miller. Do you believe that?
Oh, I definitely think, and that's part of our philosophy and part of the goal of, you know, building competitive environments, because we feel like that brings people to the best. You know, the fact that they're competing, you know, on a day-to-day basis, and, you know, if we have the right guys, they'll push them, you know, we feel like, you know, to their potential, and that they'll reach their ceiling as a player. And no doubt, I think Knowshon had that effect. And, you know, disappointing the injury, but, you know, he did bring that element to it.
Obviously, Dolphins GM Dennis Hickey joining us here on the Big O Show. Now, when you look at the process now in this part of the season, and you're interviewing players, when you talk about character, that's one of the things that I saw from all your players, even the injured guys, that, you know, you had good character guys. Mm-hmm. How important is that for you? Because you didn't really have a lot of those guys that you brought in have give you any issues whatsoever.
Yeah, I think it's important, and that's a big part about this week or last week at the East-West. We spend a lot of time interviewing, sitting down with players. The great thing about the All-Star game is there's no time limit, you know, so you can spend whatever time that you need. At the Combine, it's more of a speed dating where you have to get 60 players, you got 15 minutes. Coaches want to talk with them, you got to talk with them, you want to get, you know, cover all your bases. That's a great thing about here. So we come here 2 days early, you know, as soon as the players are here, we're interviewing them, you know, because it's important. It's important to get the total picture of the player. Look, sometimes we do a lot of character research and talking with coaches, you know, equipment managers, all those, you know, doing our due diligence on those. But you also want to get a feel for the player and just talking with them. You know, what shaped them? Where does their motivation come from? A lot of those things. And, you know, that's the exciting part of seeing these players and what has shaped them, what motivates them, and how, you know, they're going to be translate to the next level. And it's important we, you know, have the criteria of bringing in guys that not only, you know, impact our team on the field, but also impact our team off the field.
When you have a guy that you know has had some immaturity issues, right, some off the field issues, how much does that affect you in drafting him? Or are you one of those kind of, are you going to be one of those kind of teams that says, you know what, we don't even want this guy at all. We don't want this kind of guy in our locker room. How do you do that? Because I think there's a fine line. Sometimes you can take those kind of guys. I've seen it like in a Ravens locker room when you've got a strong locker room. Sometimes you can bring in a guy and say, okay, he might have some issues, but we got some guys to police him. If you don't have that kind of scenario in place, how do you handle it as a front office?
Yeah, and we feel like we do have a good locker room, and we feel like we have some quality people there. I agree with you. Most players are complex, right? And that's why we have to do not only do all the research, we want to meet with them, and even sometimes follow up with them even more to get that feel for them, because it's not you know, there's a lot of gray area and to predict how this guy is going to do it when, you know, some of these guys are 20 years old, you know, they get drafted in the first round, they're getting paid millions of dollars, you know, and all the trappings of success and how they're going to handle it. There's a lot of variability. So you have to do a lot of – and it comes down to gut feel. And there's certain criteria that we feel like that usually, you know, points to success. One would be, you know, it's important to understand their love of the game, you know, their passion for the game. And, you know, usually the best, you know, indicator of future success is past performance, right?
Right.
And so that's where you do a lot of research at their school and how they have been – you know, even going back to high school, we try to cover as many bases as we can, because it is difficult to project that element.
Dennis, at the end of the season, I thought it was something that a little bit of a disappointment, because I was actually proud of the kid, how he had handled everything all year long, and that was Mike Wallace. I thought he was phenomenal entire season. He really didn't get to play his game, which is downfield, that we saw with Ben Roethlisberger. He hasn't been able to be that guy here at all. But then he turned into a different kind of player for you guys and was very, very, very productive. But that last game, that's unacceptable. And when you talk about that behavior, how disappointed were you in that behavior?
Well, we all were frustrated by that last game. And I think the frustration, whether it be from Mike, whether it be from other players on the team, you know, just because, you know, the disappointment with how we finished, that's not our expectation. That wasn't the standard that we set out. And then, look, there's been a lot of work by the entire team, position groups, everybody, coaching staff, personnel staff, building, you know, trying to reach our goal of a championship. And it's disappointing, and it's frustrating. And so, you know, our goal is to, what do we do now? Let's move forward. How do we use that as motivation? The feeling that we felt at the end of the year, the disappointment, how does that catapult us into a great offseason with a great mindset of, you know, becoming that championship team that we want to be?
How did that conversation end at the end of the season with Wallace and with Gibson, who then participated in the end in that locker room? And I'm sure that's not the kind of thing you want representing your organization.
You know, all those things, you know, the conversations that we have, we keep between us.
I know, yeah, it's not exactly, yeah, but I know you're not going to tell me the details of it, but in what tone did that end? Did he understand where you were coming from?
You know, our focus is moving forward with that. And I think, like I said, it was a frustrating end to the season for all of us. And, you know, that is the goal of catapulting, using that bad taste in the mouth, so to speak, to catapult us into a great offseason and, you know, continue to add to our team and to be the team that we want to be. And that's what we're, you know, the part of the process we're assessing, we're evaluating, you know, every part of our aspect, because we, you know, we want to take that next step. That's kind of the mantra, take that next step, whether it be our young players that maybe contribute on special teams but not as positional players. All right, let's take the next step. Whether it be starters becoming better, you know, rising to the top of the profession, even guys that are in the Pro Bowl, you know, our three guys who we're so proud of, Mike, Brent, and Cameron, you know, taking that next step to be even better. I mean, that's the goal for our team.
Look, I know Cam Wake's going to be on this team next year. I know Brent Grimes is going to be on this team next year. Can you guarantee that Mike Wallace will be on this team next year?
You know, a lot of the decisions that we're going with all the players. Look, in the salary cap era, there are always a lot of decisions. And, you know, we have a lot, you know, numerous unrestricted free agents coming up. You know, as we go through, right now we're at the part of the process where we're evaluating everything, assessing everything, talking with the coaches, meeting, then going back and watching more cut-ups and going back and talking through those things. And that's how we'll guide our upcoming decisions.
All right, if I tell you philosophically, I look at your offense and I look at the quarterback, and the kid has so many traits to pull for. And the short and the intermediate game, he definitely made a lot of improvements. But he has a lot to be desired when it comes downfield. And in a way, I kind of go back a few years back when Culpepper was having that success, and he had Jake Reed, and he had Randy Moss, and he had Chris Carter. He had guys with length, guys that actually would, you know, have less room for error for Ryan. Do you think that's important to kind of add to your offense, because you don't have the long guy, you know? And when they had Jay Fiedler here, he could count on a guy like Aronde Gadsden in the red zone, that all he had to do was put it kind of in the vicinity and he would make life a little easier for him. Is it important to make life a little easier for Ryan, especially downfield with bigger targets?
Well, I think it all works out together, you know, and obviously, you know, Ryan, you know, took a lot of great steps moving forward and a lot of progress, and he understands, we again, kind of taking that next step, right, with his game, you know, giving him better protection to get more looks downfield. I mean, it all works hand in hand, you know, and receivers playing big, like you're talking about, you know playing big,
you know, outside of Landry, do you really have a guy that can play big? I just don't see that on your team,
right? And look, we, our guys have to play big, and you know, that's our expectation. That's how we look at it. We need to be quarterback friendly, whatever the size. There's some guys that may not measure out tall, but they play big. I mean, that's what we're looking for, and that's what we encourage our guys to be.
How is your relationship? I know you've talked about it, about with Mike Tannenbaum, and now you've worked with him for the last year. You've gotten to know him. How does this balance come out where how much will he have an influence in what goes on? And then obviously Joe is going to, I mean, Joe wanted Brandon Albert last year, and so you were able to get him this past season. So everybody's going to have some kind of input on what's going on. So how do you walk that fine line, Dennis, to try to keep everybody happy?
It's not a matter of keeping everybody happy. It's a matter of working together. I mean, there's so many things that as you're building towards a draft board of ranking, 500 players, there's so much that goes into it, or, putting together a off-season plan for a free agency. You take in a lot of things, and you work together. Obviously, there's a lot of experience. We don't make decisions in isolation. So we get a lot of input from a lot of people, whether it be coaches, whether it be scouts, everybody. And then we come to and look, and if there's not agreement, then that just means we need to keep working at it. Okay, she'll pull out tape. All right, this is my cut up of something that we disagree, we see different. It's just a subjective business, right? So you're always going to have a little bit of the disagreements with that. So you go back to the tape and you watch it and you just talk through it. And that's the way it's always worked in places I've been. And that's what we'll continue to do. It really is a collaborative effort in everyone being on the same page of what the goal is. What our philosophy as a team. Who do we want to be? And that guides those decisions.
When you're picking high in the draft, okay, when we're talking about the first couple of picks in the draft, and you look at a guy and you know he's a fantastic athlete, but he hasn't really shown you that he's a fantastic football player. And then you get that dilemma of the coach tells you, I can make him a football player. And we've seen it time and time again where some guys do turn out to be pretty good football players, and then a lot of guys kind of fall by the wayside. A lot of guys love to have the guy that they're sure is a good football player, like Landry. You can tell. I mean, from the second you see the kid, he's just an exceptional football player. You know what I mean? So what's your philosophy in that, in those early picks? Are you the guy that gets tempted by just the talent, or how much do you need the guy to be a really good football player?
No, it all starts about what they do on the tape. And that's what we always go back to. And even though it's obvious now how good a player Landry is, there were some raised eyes when he ran 4.7 at the combine. And where does that go? Again, I think I was asked the question, my reaction to that, and that was opportunity, because we always go back to the tape. And so that's what I'm focused on. Obviously, a lot, the potential and all those things enter into it as you're, but, really focusing on what they do on the field. And that's what I love about the Senior Bowl, East-West, right? It's not – running 40s, these are guys playing football against other guys playing football with pads on, hitting people. Those are great evaluation tools for us. And that's why these weeks are so important for us.
All right, so you're one of those guys that's a little afraid that potential can get you fired, right?
Well, no, I just want, I want good football players.
That's what I mean. So it just tells me that you're more into being the football player than maybe the athlete early on in the draft, at least. I can see the projects at the end
right. That
are raw football, raw talents. But early on, it seems to me like you love the football player instead.
Yeah, just going back to the best indicator of future performance is past past performance. I probably didn't quote that correctly. But, if they've been good football players, the chances they're continue to be good football players, you're trying to increase your odds. That's what we're about.
14th pick. What's it going to be? Come on, tell me already.
Oh, you already know. No, we're still working through that process. We feel like we have a good landscape, and that's under direction of Eric Stokes, our assistant GM, working through the draft board. We have a pretty good landscape of where we're at, but again, there's a lot of decisions that are coming up, and so we're kind of working hand in hand with those things.
When you talk to the scouts that you did inherit, you obviously have brought some guys that you're comfortable with that think along the lines you do. Is it tough to mold people into what you want to do? Because it's always interesting when you go from one GM to another and they've got to adjust to what you are looking for instead of what the last GM is looking for. Talk about those challenges.
Yeah, it's more communication. Our guys did a great job of buying in. The guys that I did, as you would say, inherit. It was just a matter of communicating that and, what our philosophy is and, really kind of working through it, on a case-by-case basis, because it's easy to talk, platitudes and all those things, but, explaining and walking through the players and how we view them, like, we had some quality people here on staff, and it was just a matter of communicating our vision and where we were, and they were able to get up to speed quickly.
Do you feel the wrath from the fans and media guys like me about how the struggles of this team for so long now, for over a decade now? And I almost feel bad for yourself and for the new people that come in, because you kind of, it's kind of like what's going on at the University of Miami. It's the next group comes in, they're kind of inheriting the failures of years past. And obviously, you just said it many times, you were unhappy with how the season ended, unhappy being 8-8. But is it tough to inherit the past frustrations, because it's not just a one-year thing? You've only got the 1 year, but it's kind of what's going on in the history. Is that tough to deal with when you're running into so many fans that are frustrated?
No, we have some great fans, and that's a neat part as we travel. Even here, you know, even the stands, I've had four or five people, hey, we're great Dolphins fans, you know, we love the Dolphins, and that's the passion of fans that makes our team great. So you know, that part,
by criticizing or by being pissed, they care. That's I love that, because you're not going to comment on this, but over the last couple of years with the way the Marlins are going, I didn't get a phone call. Nobody cared about the Marlins. Doesn't matter how bad the Dolphins are or how average they've been or whatever. People love that. I mean, this is why I do these shows every year for the last 16 years. People love this stuff and they love the Dolphins. So I like the fact that you appreciate that passion.
Absolutely. And look, we hurt the same, you know, trust me, you know, after the game, after the season, just we feel the pain. You just, all the time, energy, you know, sacrifices invested into trying to make this team great, and to, you know, for our fans, and to, you know, because they've experienced great. That's the thing I love about here, is they're used to it. You know, they've seen it, you know, over a sustained period of time with, you know, and so that's what we're trying to, that motivates us to continue to try to get back to that, you know, and just try to deliver. And that's what I wake up each day trying to do.
Is it going to be tough to maneuver over some of the cap situations that you're going to have this offseason? Because you're probably going to have to make, I mean, every year you make some tough decisions, but it looks like you may have to make some pretty tough decisions here this offseason.
Yeah, every year, just with the salary cap era, there's always going to be those tough decisions and the challenges of that. And just as I've gone up in the, you know, from going from a scout, and then as you get into a director of, you know, player personnel, when you start dealing with those, you realize, man, you're never out of the woods. You know, it's always just the next year of, and you try to make long-term plans, but there's always difficult times, difficult decisions. So that's always a tough part of it. But the challenge of it, you know, that's what drives us. You know, that's the, if it was easy, you know, everyone would do it.
No doubt. Dennis Hickey with us, general manager for the Miami Dolphins. All right, we'll wrap it up with this. Do you feel like you have to sell your team to free agents and to agents who you will be trying to lure? The experience last year and now going into this season, can you talk a little bit about that? Because players, obviously, they want to win. They're going to get the money pretty much everywhere else, but you don't want to be that team that has to overpay in order to lure that free agent.
No, and just my experience last year, that was never an issue. You know, guys really enjoy it, especially get them in our building, get them with our coaching staff, get them with some of our players, which we always try to do because they're our best recruiters, right? And just sitting and talking with them, one, the history of the franchise. When you know, we always walk them down the hall where it has all the yellow jackets. That's not in every building across the NFL. That many great players, legends of the game. You know, so that's the first thing. And then the community. You know, the Miami community and, you know, South Florida and all the things that we love so much about South Florida. I mean, those are easy sells. And then just who we are. And that's what we try to do. We're not trying to, you know, sell something we aren't. This is who we are. This is what we believe in. And do you want to be a part of it? And, you know, our last year success, you know, people were, you know, Brandon Albert was, you know, the top left tackle in the market, you know, competing against a lot of teams, you know, but he saw that, especially when he came down for a visit and got to eat dinner with, you know, Ryan and Mike Pouncey, and, you know, just got a feel for their staff and just who we're about. It was an easy sell.
By the way, I was going to say that was last, but the Brandon Albert, how is Brandon right now? Where is he in the recovery?
Yeah, he's on track. He's on schedule, and he's coming in every day getting treatment. And, you know, it's a, you know, long, you know, the ACLs, those are tough ones. But, you know, it's all about the mentality of the athlete, and I'm definitely betting on him because he is just attacking rehab, doing a great job with it, and we're looking forward and excited to get him back on the field.
Is he scheduled to be on the field? Do you think he'll be on the field for week one of the regular season, or is that something that may take a little while into the season?
You know, it's still a little far out to, you know, give exact timetables, but we're anticipating him helping us, so.
That'll be great. Dennis, yeah. Thank you very much for the time, my brother. I really appreciate it. And it was nice seeing you last week, too, at the East-West Shrine
Game. No doubt. I appreciate it.